Wednesday, February 22nd, 2023. This is The Better Life. I am host Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means getting stoked for your favorite sport to start the season for the USL Championship is just around the corner. I know very few of you actually care, but I think a lot of you can resonate with the excitement of your favorite sport, especially a sport that you enjoy betting, is on the horizon, that it's soon to come. And today I was able to get that excitement officially as Caesar Sportsbooks was first to market on posting USL Championship futures odds. And boy, I mean, I couldn't just gotten, shout out to Ben McGovern for flagging that for me. I hadn't noticed that they had posted, and man, I couldn't have opened my Caesars app fast enough. I am currently in the process of getting down what I want to get down between with me and my betting partners. I will post on my Twitter account, Bet the USL, what my plays are after we have taken care of our business. I can say one though, if you dabble and care to join, Indy 11 is 50-1 at the time of this recording. Indy 11 is 50-1 at the time of this recording. I think they had arguably the best offseason of any club in the USL, and that is a side that is shaping up to look very nice, and I think there's a lot of value there at 50-1. It's actually my largest position and one that I got everything I needed out of it as quickly as I could. I had another one that I bet. I'm not going to say what it is, but I had another one that I bet. It's already moved $10. It's already moved from 60-1 to 50-1. But my partners are trying to get down before it moves any further. So I will bring that up either on Twitter or on the. But this is my deal. USL and NWSL are my deal. And you know, people can make fun of me. Eric, I know, likes to poke fun of my soccer habits. Tiddlywinks and such, but I'm really proud of myself because, you know, I've in the span of The Better Life, I mean, if you've listened from day one, you have sort of passively or actively, you know, been a part of this journey of me going from sort of an average sports bettor to being sharp in a few markets. You know, I am doing quite well with these markets, and so I'm really proud of myself, which is why I continue to bring it up regardless of the percentage of my audience that actually has interest in either league or soccer betting altogether. But man, I'm excited. So, you know, follow me at BetTheUSL on Twitter if you're interested in that stuff. That's where I post all of my plays. Been a little quiet past few months, but now with MLS, USL, and NWSL about to kick off, going to be more active on there. So, really looking forward to that. Indy 11, 50-1, nice value there. Okay, this episode's going to be a little different. I'm going to play a clip from, or not a clip, I'm playing a segment, I should say, from the latest Better Viewing episode that I do with Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That. But before I get there, I'm actually going to do all of the things that I typically do after the feature content. I'm going to do it now. I'm saving one thing for after the feature content before I close the show, but the rest of it I'll actually do right here. So let's start with Biloxi, Mississippi, May 18 to May 20. So many of you are going. We'll see how many of you actually show up, but a lot of you have flagged that you're going, or indicated that you're going, I should say, and we're excited to see you. Something I wanted to bring up here. You all know what I sound like. Many of you know what I look like. I know what very few of you look and sound like. So please do not, if you're confident that you hear me and then get confirmation, yep, I'm pretty sure that's Tim, come introduce yourself. I'm not going to, you know, I know I've met a handful of you. I'm going to recognize a handful of you. Come up, introduce yourself. You know, even if you're like, hey, I, let me know that you, if you listen, how you became a listener. You know, give me some context. Whether you know you discovered me through You Can Bet on That or another podcast, or you stumbled across. Maybe you're a new listener. Maybe you're an old listener. Doesn't matter. But I'm not going to be able to recognize any of you. So please introduce yourselves so I can get to know you and meet you. I'm very excited to see all of you there. I'm going to be at IP. It is official. I'm going to be at IP, the MGM rewards calendar, updated all the way through the 21st for me, and 21st of May. And the Friday night will not be comped, which is what I was counting on to stay at Beau Rivage. And so I will be staying at IP, which is all well and good because that's what the $25 squeeze game is. And I'm excited to just spend many hours on that. I'm probably going to post some fun prop bets on things in Biloxi, things that I have complete control over. So, you know, it's just for fun. But over under number of walk me downs in while I'm there, maybe over under on most walk me downs in a day. Walk me downs, by the way, the official beverage of Biloxi meetups. And then probably a number of hours played at the squeeze game. Number of casino games played. That's an interesting one. I'll post some of these. All of these I have complete control over. Nothing I would manipulate for any reason. It'll just be fun. But Biloxi, really looking forward to it. It's hard to believe that it's just a few months away, and it feels like it's so close and so far at the same time. But really excited about it. Have I mentioned that I'm excited about it? I don't think I've mentioned how excited I really am about it. Super excited about it. As Rob mentioned on last week's podcast, by the way, if you listen to the podcast in the first like 36 hours after its release, you would have noticed there's a little gap there with no audio. That's where Mississippi Rob's audio was supposed to go. I promise you, I've done this for 10 years and I'm a professional that I know what I'm doing. I still make rookie mistakes like that. Oh well, shout out to Carl Schlegel for pointing it out to me. I've put it back in the feed. If you have to go back and listen to it, but it's there towards the end. If you're interested in what Mississippi Rob has to say about the Biloxi meetup, he's sort of shuffling some things around for that Saturday. And here's why: the Saturday on the drafted agenda was going to be a Beau Rivage heavy or focused day, and Mississippi Rob just spent a few days in Biloxi doing a little recon, talking to some people. And, you know, the craps tables, you know, I guess to be expected, were, you know, a little more expensive at Beau Rivage on a Saturday night at $25. And we started thinking, yeah, are we really going to Biloxi to be on a $25 craps table? You know, part of the allure of Biloxi is the cheaper gambling, right? So a little bit of shuffling around on that. I'm pretty sure the only, golfing is not going to change, like the Saturday morning golfing. But I think when we fit Beau Rivage into our schedule and then what we end up doing on that Saturday, I think those things might shift around. We have a Biloxi channel in the Discord server for the Better Life. If you're interested in that, it's my pinned tweet on Twitter. Join us, hop in that channel, talk to myself, Mississippi Rob. If you're interested in golfing that Saturday morning, got to let him know soon. He's going to have to reserve some tee times. He has to know what the estimated amount of golfers is going to be. And I don't know, I've never set a tee time in my life, but I imagine that like once we've done that, we're stuck with little wiggle room, I guess. So let him know if you plan on going and if you're interested in golfing. I'll be there. Looking forward to it. I golf twice a year and both times is with Mississippi Rob, once in Biloxi, once in Vegas. That seems to be how it goes. That's all I got for Biloxi. Let me know if you're going. I mean, look, this could be the biggest gambling trip to Biloxi we've had. This could mirror Gamblepalooza-like numbers, if not more so. So really excited about that. By the way, Mississippi Rob put out a tweet on what we should call ourselves. One, we're not calling ourselves Gamblepalooza. That's a Vito's thing. We're going to leave a Vito's thing. When Vito comes out of retirement, when he does a meetup, he gets to call it a Gamblepalooza. That's his thing. We're not calling it Gamblers Gone Wild. I don't want to make it seem like we're a bunch of college kids running around being reckless, right? People brought up that Vito once wanted to call Gamblepalooza that. We're not doing that. But Mississippi Rob is taking ideas on what we might call our group as we sort of make reservations or work with casinos and stuff. So, you know, you can find Mississippi, at Mississippi Rob 4 is his Twitter account. You can respond to that if you have a funny idea or a clever one for that, maybe. I have created, I have created and I will be holding 2 March Madness Survivor pools. Okay. 2 March Madness Survivor pools. What this is March Madness. Everybody is familiar with it. 64 teams down to 1. It's a great tournament. A lot of people consider it their favorite, you know, sports time of the year. So, they're both going to be structurally the same. One's $10, one's $25. The $25 one is open to multiple entries. Just the one entry for the $10 one. And the reason why I want to do that is I know a lot of people like doing this just for fun, and I don't want people to have to think about the strategic, you know, the game theory and stuff like that on multiple entries and stuff on, you know, on that one. The $25 one I created because I figured that's one where if people maybe take this a little more seriously, or why have a little more gamble in them. And if you're that kind of person, you're also likely to think more about the game theory of having multiple entries. So up to 3 entries on the $25 one, only 1 entry on the $10 one. You pick a team per game day up until the Elite 8, and then it's a team per round. And you can't use the same team twice, and you have to survive each day to advance. It's that simple. Winner gets 70% of the pot and chooses the charity in which the other 30% will go to. And those are, you know, and each pot is separate. The $10 pot is separate from the $25 pot. If you're interested, send me an email at podcast@thebetterlife.us. Or send me a message on a DM on Twitter or Instagram, and at The Better Life on Instagram, also on Twitter, and I will get you set up. I can take payments, PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, not a problem. We can figure all that out. But it's very, very fun, exciting to do. March, the Sunday selection for March Madness, and of course, I closed my tab where I have that. What are the chances that I can sort of see? I've already messed it up. I was thinking, hey, what are the chances that I can actually Google this while I am typing this in? Sunday, March 12th. I'm sure Mark brought it up on You Can Bet on That. I haven't listened to that episode yet. Sunday, March 12th. You Can Bet on That is having their biannual or semiannual poker tournament, and it's going to be on PokerStars, I believe. Goodness, don't I really hope I didn't mess with it. Anyways, listen to their podcast for all the details. But they're having their semi-annual poker tournament. I will be in it. There will be a bounty on my head. It'll be the same as whatever Mark and Dr. Mike's is. That bounty will be on my head. I also have a voice channel on the Discord server that I use to sit around and chat with people during the tournament, if you care to join us there. Lastly, podcasting. I keep on bringing it up because it's getting... every time I bring it up, I'm getting more questions from people. I'm hearing that people are starting to think about starting a podcast. This is great. I love that I'm inspiring this. What I wanted to bring up today in podcasting, and this is whenever people are starting podcasts, this is one of the first pieces of advice I give them as it pertains to interviews or guiding a conversation. I am good at this. I am not great at this, but I am pretty good at this, and something that I use to really lead my discussions with people or how I navigate them. Not so if you're interviewing someone or having a conversation with them, if you hear something that piques your interest or seems interesting to you, there's a good chance your audience also heard it and is also interested. And it's good to pursue that, right? But the counter to that is not everything that your guest wants to talk about is interesting to your audience. Just because it's interesting to your guest doesn't mean it's going to be interesting to your audience. Now, and, you know, using those two sort of deciding factors on what to discuss and where to go. Look, if your guest is like on a tangent and going, sometimes it's difficult to like be like, let me stop you right there. This isn't interesting. But at your next available segue, at the next time you get a follow-up question, whatever it may be, start steering it back to another conversation or changing it all together. There's times, and I kid you not, there's times when I am editing my podcast, and again, I don't always edit it for ahs and stuff like that, but I do edit for content, where I realize, oh snap, I haven't really been paying attention to the last like minute. That's an indicator to me that, wow, maybe that conversation isn't all that interesting. Now, there's a chance that I got distracted for a different reason or because I've heard the conversation, that's the too. But if I realize I wasn't really paying attention, I always ask myself, is it because this isn't all that interesting? And sometimes that's what I come to, and I edit that out thinking that's probably not all that interesting. But the caveat to all of that, I guess the caveat to the second part of that is if it's not interesting to you, if it's, you know, what the guest wants to talk about isn't always going to be interesting to your audience. You can't publish what you don't record. Let me say that again. You can't publish what you don't record. Eric and I used to tell him all the time, I was like, if we go on a tangent, we go on a tangent, let's just do it. Because it could be funny, it could be valuable, it could be insightful. If not, I'll just edit it, right? And that's when I had more time to, like, you know, sit around and just edit content. But I will entertain a conversation if there's potential or if there's, or, you know, if it seems funny, you know, if you want to start a bit or something like that, you know, try it out. If it doesn't work, you can always edit it out. If you're someone like Adam Bauer who doesn't like editing, don't entertain that idea, right? Because you're just giving yourself more editing to do. But if it piques your interest or seems interesting to you, there's a good chance your audience heard it and it's interesting to them. What your guest wants to talk about isn't always interesting to your audience. And if you don't record it, you can't publish it. There's my advice for podcasters that are new to this and getting into it. Really excited. Send me your podcast. If you build a podcast and create one and publish an episode, I want to hear it. Send me your podcast. Use promo code BETTER, BETTOR, at Libsyn. If you don't have a host yet, if you don't have a hosting site, I recommend Libsyn. It's what I host The Better Life on. Use promo code BETTER, BETTOR, for your first 2 months off of your plan. Okay, that is it. We're going to go into today's feature audio. If you listen to Better Viewing, if you're subscribed to the Better Viewing feed, I apologize. This is not new content. If you don't, this may or it may not be interesting to you, but I did want to throw this in here for two reasons. One, new listeners may not be familiar with Better Viewing since we've made the transition from having it once a month in this feed to giving its own monthly episode feed. So if you're new to the podcast, if you're relatively new to the Better Life, once a month, Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That joins me for a discussion talking about gambling references, portrayals, scenes, etc., found in TVs and movies. It's a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite things that I do every month. The most recent one was a grab bag episode where I just found scenes from several different TV shows, like How I Met Your Mother, Murderville, Arrested Development. And then at the very end, we discussed the new show Poker Face. So that's what this clip is. It's just our discussion on the show, the first episode of the new show Poker Face. If you dig this, check out our feed for Better Viewing. We also have videos on YouTube, youtube.com/thebetterlife. After this, I have one more thing I want to mention before I close out the show. But until then, Better Viewing with Mark Duvall, reviewing. The first episode of Poker Face. Enjoy. Finally, we're going to talk about Poker Face, the new show that has hit NBC. Natasha Lyonne is probably best known for Orange is the New Black, also American Pie. And I don't know if Benjamin Bratt or Adrian, I'm sorry, if Bratt or Brody are all that well known. Dasha Polanco was also in Orange is the New Black. She has a role in this first episode.
Well, Adrian Brody's an Academy Award winner, so you know it goes a few.
What
years
was he
back,
in? But, I kept on trying to like, but is so I know that he, what was he in? Oh, he was in The Pianist. Okay.
The Pianist, right. That's what he won the award for. Yes.
That's right. Okay. Apparently also in King Kong.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So I'm not going to go through the plot too much of this show because I know people have said, you know, don't worry about spoilers because people should watch it before they listen. I'm going to pull the reins on that a little bit here. I'm going to be a little more conservative because it's so new. And I want people to possibly get a chance to hear this and then possibly decide that if they want to watch it or not. So that's going to be my goal here. The plot, the basic plot, and you can get most of this just from the episode description, is that the casino operator is trying to get Charlie, our main character, to help him take down a will for running a private game in his hotel, while she spends the episode uncovering details of a murder that also occurs early in the episode.
Right. And that's, you know, what makes this a little different than typical murder mysteries is that we, the audience, we know what happened. We may not have all the details,
right,
but we saw the crime being committed. So we at least know the guilty parties up front.
Yes.
So we're watching Charlie, Natasha Lyonne's character, go through and try to figure out what happened, even though we know. So that's a little bit different. That's why, you know, talking about spoilers too, there's not really a spoiler here, that, you know, you do learn more information as it goes on.
Yeah.
But you also know who did it from the very beginning. So
yeah. Okay. By the way, when I saw Natasha Lyonne was in this, I was like excited. I really enjoy her. She was especially good in Orange is the New Black.
I love her, and she's great in this show. She's one of the reasons that I think this is going to be a really good show.
Okay. Our setting is a small casino in Nevada, and it kind of reminded me of a spot that might be downtown or in Reno.
It was actually, if I can interrupt you real quick, the outside of the casino is called Frost Casino, is actually Don Laughlin's Riverside Resort in Laughlin.
Oh.
And, you know, it's right there on the river. And in fact, during this episode, the name Frost, the family name, is kind of sitting in for Laughlin. So, you know, in fact, I think it's even in like Frost County.
So, yeah, look at that. Go. Okay. Well, see, Mark, this is why I do this show with you. You have all this great information that I didn't either bother look into or didn't catch.
There you go. And I think, and again, this is the outside shots. I think the interiors, it was probably just a set.
Yeah.
There you go.
Would you agree the inside definitely has? I mean, I guess Laughlin makes perfect sense for this, for how that interior looked.
I think so.
A room attendant found something possibly criminal in this whale's suite and alerts casino management. That's how this whole thing pops off. The main character, Charlie Lyonne's character, she's also a server that doesn't. We see that very briefly when she's in her. When she's in her uniform and she's walking around. I love that as she was walking around, she was really playing up all the games that were happening, including at roulette. She was even like, where it's going to land? Nobody knows. And she says it both enthusiastically and kind of sarcastically.
Yeah.
She throws down the remainder of a whiskey that someone didn't finish.
Yeah, she finishes off the drinks drinks one of the new ones. Yep.
We learn that she used to clean up at the poker tables, right? The whole premise of this is that she can tell when someone is bullshitting. She makes a very specific point, which I appreciated, that it's not about just knowing the truth. It's about being able to pick up on a lie.
An intentional non-truth. So a lie. Somebody's intentionally lying, right?
Yes. And what I'm curious about in this dialogue between the casino operator, who his dad founded the casino, Mr. Frost, Frost Jr. is now running the casino. I watched this all the way through one time, and then I kind of skipped through it a second time for my notes. But I did watch that scene where when they're talking to each other. I watched that all the way through the second time. And I'm still not quite sure I understand what she did wrong, like how she upset his dad. Like, did she fleece him in a game, or was he just upset that she was able to do this? Like, I struggled so hard to figure out why she was in this position of being employed at the casino after an encounter with the owner.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't have an answer for you, and I'm not sure either. And I guess this would be a good time to say, too, that we may find out more information as the series goes on, and there will be this overarching, you know, background story. But the actual show is basically a murder mystery of the week. So each episode is going to be a new murder that Charlie has to figure out. So I only bring that up right now because we may find out more information later on in the series. But again, that storyline is going to be secondary to, you know, the murder of the week.
Okay. It's said many times, they say it a few times in this episode. I love it. Gamblers talk. And the casino operator says it. She says it. It's said a few times. It's true. I mean, that's why I really appreciate it. Like when you're in a ring of gamblers, you know, you discuss things.
Yeah. And especially poker players.
Yes, yes, exactly. gambling podcasters also talk.
There you go.
Probably my favorite line from her. She says, "I've been rich. It's easier than being broke, but harder than doing just fine," which I thought was a really brilliant line.
Yeah, that's great. She was saying, "I'm doing just fine at this point," even though, you know, she's living out of a trailer and it looks like she's kind of destitute. You can tell that she's probably happier than when she, you know, was, you know, had all that money. Yeah.
Yep. There's a scene where a drunk comes into the casino looking for his wife. He's making a scene. The guards lift him by his upper body and gets him about his height in the air and then slams him onto a table. I'm sorry. That's not happening.
Nope.
That was the most it's a key part in revealing a plot point, but boy, was that ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like it would, like if they had gone for his legs and that happened, fine, but they lift him up by his upper body and then get him elevated in the air and then slam him on a table. There's no way you're not being disciplined for slamming a patron on a table. I don't care what it is.
Yeah. That's more of like the Benny Binion days of running a casino. You certainly wouldn't get away with it today. Yeah.
I mean, look, pick someone up and slam on the ground. That's fine. But like slamming someone on like one of the gaming tables, right? Like you're just asking for that to be more, to be a mess, right?
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. We see Kane. He's the high roller. He's playing poker, I believe. He believes at a poker table.
Poker.
And she's in the crow's nest, and she like, he's like, is he bluffing there? And she like looks in, and he blows some smoke, and she says no. And then you hear the dealer say, "Good play, Mr. Kane," to send, you know, saying that he won that hand and that she called it right. So these types of shows are interesting. Like I remember Lie to Me. Remember Lie to Me? This was a show.
Yeah, I never saw it, but yeah.
Like these I can pick up on the truth kind of shows are always interesting. And I thought that they did a pretty good job of kind of poking the holes that you may have as a viewer pretty quickly, right? Like it's not about knowing the truth, it's about picking up on a lie, right? It's like they quickly kind of narrowed her ability enough to where even though it's still a godly feat, it's still almost, you can almost reason with it a little bit more.
Yeah. And you and I, this is the only episode that either one of us has seen, but my understanding is that's also going to be the case as the series goes on. Her gimmick is not going to be a huge factor in telling these stories.
Got it. Okay. Because when it was the is he bluffing and she watches him blow cigar smoke and calls it, I was like, oh, I feel like we're stretching here, right? Like, yeah. It to me, that felt like the biggest stretch of the look what I can do gimmick. But
yeah,
okay. There's a lot. So just in general, just general comments. There's a lot of walking around the casino. A lot of like there's the casino scenes, but they're quick. It's walkthroughs and such, but. I don't know if you caught anything. I thought the set looked dressed properly for a casino, and there was typical action around each table.
Yeah, I didn't catch anything that jumped out as being wrong or
And the only other comments, not gambling related. There's a scene towards the end where someone's shooting at someone, and boy, that guy's a terrible shot. It was so bad where I was like, find a different way to do this scene. Then, if he can't hit her with those shots. Just don't even try. Like, just find a different thing there. The last thing. So the episode ends. Like I said, it's a different. You know, the idea is a different murder each time, and she ends up at the end. She ends up having to presumably flee town. I don't know. I'm assuming she's leaving. That you actually really. I guess you don't really know if she's permanently leaving or what. But it made me wonder: is the gambling aspect of this going to stay?
Like I would guess no. I'm thinking that there will be little to no gambling on the rest of the episodes, at least through this season.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling that I got. So yeah, there you go.
Yep. Yeah, you and I had mentioned last episode maybe we could do this show similar to Luck. But it sounds like we're both in agreement that it's less likely that the episodes are going to be.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, so I think we can bring it up as they come up if they do. Any other thoughts on episode one here of Poker Face?
The one thing that I did think was unrealistic. So this character is supposed to be a whale, and they're upset that instead of playing at the games in the casino, he's got this private game in his room. Well, we're talking about poker here. Casinos don't care how much money you're throwing around at a poker table. You're not going to call a poker player a whale ever. Unless he's also playing other games, blackjack, crap, slots, that kind of thing. So there was no indication that he was playing any other games. That's the only thing I would say is poker. Mm. Hey, you know, casinos don't care. So again, I can kind of live with it because they didn't go into a lot of background about what kind of a gambler he was. And that wasn't that critical an issue, you know, when it came to telling the story. So, but it did catch my eye.
Okay. A question I asked Twitter a little while ago, last week maybe, I asked, what's a show that you enjoy that if you were the exec that had to decide on picking up the show based off of the pilot, what's a show that fits that criteria where you wouldn't have picked it up based on the pilot? And people responded with a handful of different things. Usually it shows it started slow or, you know, those were And so I ask you here, based off of just the pilot, if you're the studio exec that has to decide, hey, we're picking this show up for a full series, what was this enough for you to want to see more?
Yeah, definitely. Because of the way the story was told, you know, kind of non-linear in a lot of ways. And Natasha Lyonne, she's just great in this role. It's kind of a throwback in a way to Columbo from the 70s.
Yeah.
In fact, even the credits at the beginning were kind of a callback, the way that they kind of put the copyright at the bottom there. Yeah. And, you know, that it's, again, we have so much television now where, a TV series, you know, Game of Thrones, well, that's not episodic TV. That's like a, 100-hour movie or whatever, right? So, this is, again, a new story each week, new characters are going to have a lot of guest stars. I'd absolutely pick up this show. Yeah.
Okay. Episodic television is something that I think goes a little underappreciated in the current realm of show the battle for streaming content, right? Trying to land the next Handmaid's Tale, right? Stuff like that. Yeah. I think that Murderville is another great example of just great episodic television. You can just turn on one at any point and enjoy it.
Well, and that's why I love sitcoms so much, because in general sitcoms are episodic. Just tune in and watch one episode. Yeah, there might be some long story that's going on there. But that's what I get a kick out of sitcoms so much.
Okay. All right, that is all I have here in my lineup. You said that you had a few that you wanted to mention.
I have just a couple of notes here. So okay. I was watching the pilot for Will and Grace. This would have been late 90s.
Yeah.
Pilot episode, and one of the very first scenes is a poker game where Jack and Will are playing. They're Jack again. We're bringing up Sean Hayes again, right? Sean Hayes is just hilarious in Will and Grace. And they're playing five-card draw. And it's action is on Jack for him to decide how many cards he wants. And he's, you know, as funny as usual. And he ends up drawing four cards. And it kind of gets a laugh from the audience. I'm not exactly sure why, but he draws four cards. And after the laugh, he says, look, here's my ace. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. There is, at least in home games, there's sort of this rule that if you're playing draw poker, you can only draw four cards if you have an ace. If you don't have an ace, three is the most you can draw.
I remember this now, house rule. I grew up with this house rule.
Right, yeah. And it's not a casino rule.
Right.
But go to any home game and it's like it's that rule. And I thought, well, that's interesting. A little verisimilitude in the pilot episode of Will and Grace, Jack's very first scene, where they made a point of him to show the ace, showing that, okay, I can draw four cards.
So we would never make someone show the ace. Well, I guess you could draw an ace. I guess that's where you get away with it.
If you're drawing four, it's go ahead and show the ace, I guess. I mean, if...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, why not?
Everybody knows it, so you know, why not prove it and show that you're not drawing against a jack? I mean,
maybe we did ask for the ace. Yeah, we must have. Yeah, because you could always draw the ace and be like, yeah, that was the ace that was in my hand. Okay.
And the only other thing that I have, in Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, new movie, animated stop motion, just a beautiful picture, not really a kid's version of Pinocchio, but just visually amazing. There's a poker game going on in, I guess what you can call the afterlife. It comes up several times in the movie where these creatures in the afterlife are playing poker. So I just thought I'd brought that up. It just was a surprise to me in a movie like this, where they were playing poker. So if you get a chance, it's a very good movie.
Mark, I am so glad that you brought that up.
Okay.
Because every time we do one of these, I think, okay, let me refresh myself on gambling movies and stuff like that. So that way, if I need to reference one, or let me see if I get some inspiration for when it comes time for me to think about better viewing, I usually Google gambling movies to make sure there isn't something I'm missing, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did it earlier today and Pinocchio showed up. I Googled gambling movies and Uncut Gems, Molly's Game, Card Counter, Mississippi Grind, Pinocchio.
Really?
Yes. And I was like, what in the algorithm mayhem? What in the SEO is happening here where Pinocchio is showing up on a Google search for gambling movies? And that must be it.
Well, maybe. But I mean, if you go back to the Disney Pinocchio, I think there might have been some gambling there.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've seen it. I can't imagine that it would have been because of what I just mentioned here. Because it's a very small part of the movie, and there's certainly there's nothing about that. It's just a poker game, and there are no results that are significant in the storyline.
Okay.
So I'm thinking maybe in your results, it probably was, you know, the Disney's from the animated version, and that, you know, there's some, it's been so long since I've seen it, so I don't know, but there's probably some gambling going on there.
Okay. The other movie that popped up in the top part of that search that I hadn't seen is Poker Face, featuring Russell Crowe.
Yes, that came out last year, 2022. Yes.
Yes, I must have missed that. Have you seen that?
I have not. It got bad reviews.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it once it, you know, is available for free for streaming. But no, it came up on my list. It's already on the You Can Bet on That movies page. But it just got pretty bad reviews. So I'm not going to pay to see it. We'll just, you know, maybe check it out once it's free.
Okay. What I would like to do next time is a blackjack themed episode.
Okay.
So see popular blackjack scenes to include what, Hangover, Rain sure. Man, Swingers, yeah. I think has a good one.
Yeah.
What's the movie where the old guys go to Vegas, Old Vegas or something like that?
No, Last Vegas.
Last Vegas, yeah, Last Vegas. And then we will end with the movie 21.
Okay, and you want to have Vegas Vacation in there too with Wallace Shawn as the blackjack dealer against Chevy Chase?
Yeah, well,
we already covered that.
Yeah, I was thinking scenes from movies we haven't covered yet, where okay. maybe I'm less likely to want to cover the whole movie.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Swinger. We'll probably still include Swingers. Do you think Swingers is Vegas enough to yes. include in our
Absolutely.
Series here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll save Swingers for its own then. Or we can do both. It doesn't matter. Anyways, okay. Next time I would like to do a blackjack themed where we do a handful of scenes from movies and then end with the movie 21, because the movie 21 it doesn't really get talked about enough, I don't think, in it's so when I bring up I like gambling movies, or people are like, oh, I liked the movie 21, I don't know how to tell them how whitewashed that fucking movie
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah.
And how like it's because like they want to participate and they want to contribute to my conversation, and I don't want to like just shoot them down with like, well, it's kind of an awfully interpreted movie, but I think it is it fits in this genre, and we should cover it.
It definitely turned a lot of people onto blackjack and yes. counting cards in blackjack. It certainly had a if you just listen to maybe even some of the APs that show up on Gambling with an Edge, a lot of them will point to 21 as the thing that got them interested in it initially.
Yeah. Fun fact, I have been to the room at MIT. Or at least what as much research as I could do, me and my friend who was getting his PhD at MIT, I'd visit him one time, and I was like, he's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to see if I can find the room where the blackjack team met. And with a bunch of research and asking credible sources, we found it. And so that's a weird nerdy gambling thing that I got to do. That was nice. Kind of fun. Yeah. Okay. In about an hour or not an hour, in about a half hour, Mark, I'm going to be going live with Adam Bauer, Cousin Vito, and Vinny Chenz from 7Out on a little, Where Are They Now?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to listen at least if I can. Oh, I've got stuff that's busy here because I really want to hear from those guys and find out why, you and I can go ahead and keep making podcasts and they can't. That's what I just want to know.
I am going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Who would you like to answer that question first? Who should I give that question to first?
I should say Adam, just to kind of, give him a hard time, but no, it's Vito.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all of them though. It's like Vinny. It's like, what happened? Oh yeah. Just, tell them that Dr. Mike and I, we only do our show every 2 weeks. We're not doing it every week. We only do it every day. We're over 250 episodes. Yeah, lay into them if I'm not there.
I will be sure to do that on behalf of Mark Duvall. Okay, Mark, I think we've done all we could here.
Beautiful.
Blackjack next time.
Sounds good.
Very good. Take care, buddy.
Yep, you too. Bye.
A lot of fun doing that with Mark. Looking forward to the next one. As we mentioned, it's going to be focused on blackjack. Hopefully going to get that posted on March 2nd. That is the target date. So Mark, if you're hearing this, we need to record before then. The last thing I want to mention is next week's episode. I say next week's episode. It's like, what, 5 days from now, right? It's going to be on Monday. Monday is February 27. It is also the 5-year anniversary of The Better Life. It will also be episode 200. And I think that's kind of cool. The episode number, episode 200, that was originally meant to be the bookend to the podcast, The Better Life, the nail in the coffin, not nail in the coffin, I'm being a little dramatic there, but what we anticipated to be the final episode is now going to be a episode of celebration. And it actually kind of just worked out that way. I did make sure that like this episode, I made sure got published that way. Next week's was episode 200. But it actually just kind of naturally felt like when I started picking up the podcasting again, I was like, oh, episode 200 is going to fall right around this. Let's do that. February 27, 5-year anniversary of The Better Life. February 27, 2018 was when I released the first episode of The Better Life. I cannot believe it's been 5 years. What a crazy endeavor this has been. Getting to know so many of you, having so many listeners tune in. It's so crazy to me that with so much good content fighting for your ear holes that you still hit play on The Better Life. And I'm so grateful for it. Going to have some fun things hopefully lined up for this next episode, episode 200, the 5-year anniversary. And I just wanted to bring that. I wanted to close this episode out with that to just be excited. You know, like I almost, you can hear the giddiness in my voice. It's, you know, this is the longest I've done a podcast, and I just love that life got in the way enough so that way I didn't have a reason to end it, which is great. So looking forward to it. Thank you so much for listening. Check out Better Viewing if you're new to it and you dug this. There's a whole feed full of movies and TV shows. We watched the entire season, the first season of Luck, stuff like that. On behalf of Mark DeVault, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.